personal exercise coach, a personal trainer, you might still call yourself that, you're a fitness instructor, you're a passionate human being who loves to be healthy, fit and strong, and every time you exercise, you feel fantastic and you want to help other people to feel fantastic too. Haha. So when I became an exercise professional, when I shared that with my family, which who they weren't particularly supportive of me being an exercise professional, I certainly didn't share with them that I was going to be the ultimate drug dealer, that as an exercise professional, I would be dealing or producing the most powerful brain-changing chemicals known to man, and I would be injecting them into people's brains on a daily basis. So I don't think you've been calling yourself a drug dealer either, but this is really exciting for me because we live in a world right now where people are literally using a lot of drugs, whether they're recreational pharmaceutical drugs. We have very small children going to the doctor getting antidepressants. We've got anxious kids. We've got depressed people. We've got mental health challenges across the board. People are not mentally healthy. So they're taking drugs for that to try and change their brain chemistry. Well, what's really exciting about me as an exercise professional, you as an exercise professional, you as a person who's excited about being healthy, fit and strong, is that there is, of course, a major connection between the brain and the body. And isn't it awesome that exercise changes what goes on inside the brain? And here's a great question, what does your brain control? So if you are a happy, healthy person, and your brain's working at full capacity, you've got 100% mental health, mental strength, mental toughness, is it possible that your life will be a hell of a lot better? So not only do we help people to be cardiovascular and respiratory fitter, how's that for a good word? So we help people get fit. We help people get strong muscles and bones, so strong skeletal system, strong muscular system, strong respiratory system, cardiovascular system. Obviously, the digestive system is affected when you exercise because the fuel that you put in, when you're fit and healthy, your digestive system works better. There's the immune system, so when your muscles pull on your bones get stronger, so you get a stronger immune system so you can fight germs, bugs, viruses, and diseases. But what about the central nervous system? How is that affected by exercise? And what can we do as exercise professionals to make sure that we are pumping our brain full of those powerful neurotransmitters that make us feel good? So these are my favorite ones right here. The ones that exercise have a really major benefit for, or exercise produces a lot of, which is dopamine, the reward drug. And the thing that I love about dopamine as a happy drug neurotransmitter is that you don't just have to achieve the result to pump dopamine. We start producing dopamine when we're heading towards a goal. So as soon as somebody decides that they want to get healthy, fit, and strong, dopamine starts being produced more often. If we are on our way to our exercise session, if we're thinking about getting up in the morning to do an exercise session, dopamine starts being released into our body, into our brain, the reward drug. So we start feeling good before we even exercise. So for me, dopamine is a very exciting thing to be able to pump into people's bodies. Serotonin is the next one, which is a satisfaction drug. And a lot of people are unhappy in their lives because I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough friends, or I don't like my job, or I wish my life was better, or I wish I was fitter and stronger and healthier, or I had less body fat percentage, or I had flatter tummy, or I looked better. Woohoo! So what happens when you have serotonin in your body or pumping through your brain is you feel more satisfied with the life that you've already got. So that's why after you do an exercise session, you feel so good because your brain's full of dopamine and serotonin. So you feel rewarded and you feel satisfied. But the one that's really exciting, it's wanted to let me know, so it popped off its little hidey hole here, is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, fertilizer for your brain. And the reason this one is so exciting for me, and this is a very personal story, I had a very special father, a very intelligent father. He could speak 7 languages fluently, and not just speak them, he could write them and sing them and communicate very effectively in 7 languages. He was really intelligent, really smart, really wise, had a lot to offer the world. And then he was diagnosed as he got older with dementia, with Alzheimer's. He was told that he was going senile. His brain was rotting away. And as at the time, I wouldn't have called myself an exercise professional. I had some simple understanding of how the human body works. My anatomy knowledge was abs and lats and bis and tris and calves and quads. That was my single syllable technology understanding of how the human body worked. But I did have a pretty good understanding that we replace cells in our body. I knew that we replace skin cells, we replace muscle cells. If something's damaged, we fix it. So if we break a fingernail or if our hair gets split or we cut ourselves, our body heals itself. We replace the broken cells. So I asked the brain scientists, the neurosurgeons, the people that were looking after my father, and I was young at the time and naive, but to me it was a great question. If I can replace skin cells, why can't we replace brain cells? What can we do for my dad so that instead of him being diagnosed with a terminal illness and his brain's going to rot away and he's going to die, literally your body forgets to look after itself because your brain's broken? And there's a great question to ask. What does the brain control? Obviously everything. So my question was, how come we can't help his brain? How come we can't replace his brain cells? And I was told pre-1999 that was impossible, that the brain, once brain cells were dead, you couldn't fix them. And I was also brought up with that, with a religious upbringing. I was, it was drummed into me, brainwashed into me, that if you drank alcohol, for example, that would kill brain cells and that you could never replace them. So it was difficult for me because I couldn't understand it. So I wanted to understand it. And I'm sure like you, when you've got something that's important to you, you go study it, you go research it, which has been my study of the brain ever since. And neuroscience for me is now the study of the brain, has become something that's a driving force for me every day, because I used to think that the brain controlled the body. And now, having studied it a little bit more, and to say that I understand how the brain works is ridiculous, because of course I don't. I'm learning every day, I'm studying every day, I'm listening to lectures and reading books and doing everything about the brain on a regular basis, and I still don't know very much. But what I have found out is that the physical body has a major effect on our brain. So I used to think, be happy, be positive, have a great attitude, and that will help you be healthy, fit, and strong. What I have now got a better understanding about, isn't this exciting, is that when you're healthy, fit, and strong, it has a major effect on the health of your brain. So in a world where there are so many people with depression, with anxiety, with mental health challenges, people who feel mentally weak and mentally unwell, mentally unhealthy, what can we do for them as exercise professionals, as a drug dealer of these amazing, powerful, neurotransmitting, happy drug, brain-changing, chemistry, beautiful things? What can we do to help people to be mentally healthy? And this is where it all begins, and it's a really simple process. My brain works very simply, so I try and turn everything into something that's really easy to understand. So if you go back to, and you'll often hear hunter and gatherer. So the human body hasn't evolved very much from we need to feed ourselves, let's chase the animal, catch the animal, kill the animal, eat the animal, and the family will survive. The challenge, of course, with the animal was that it was an aggressive type of an animal, and sometimes you weren't chasing the animal to kill it, it was chasing you. So the human body has been designed to either fight the animal, fight the threat, or run away from the threat. So the chemistry of the body, the central nervous system, the hormonal system, endocrine system, the musculoskeletal system, digestive system, even the immune system, they're all designed, they all work together. Isn't that exciting? They're not separate systems. They all work together to make sure that if we are under threat, if we're under stress, if we're being chased by a wild animal, or if we need to kill the animal to eat it, that our body can produce all the chemicals that we need to be able to do that. And this is where it gets really exciting. So number one is the human body is a survival mechanism. It doesn't want to die. It doesn't want to be under threat. It doesn't want to be stressed. But it can cope with all of those things very effectively so that it can survive. So if you're under threat, if you're under stress, if your body feels like something is going to hurt it or it needs to get away from something, or if your body is simply under stress, so all of those systems, if your muscles, bones, digestive system, endocrine system, central nervous system, immune system, if they're under stress, your body says, okay, into action now, we need to survive. So what happens? The endocrine system, the hormones of the body, start producing what I'm sure you've heard are fight and flight drugs, neurotransmitters, drugs inside our body that allow us to either turn and fight the animal or run away from it, turn and fight the threat or run away from it. So cortisol is released, epinephrine is released, and adrenaline is released. Epinephrine and adrenaline are the same, but epinephrine comes from the brain, adrenaline from your adrenal glands, and they are the movement drugs. So if you have to move, your body says, let's go. And almost in an instant, the phosphate system fires up, which is that when you understand the three energy systems, phosphate is for 10 seconds, then the lactate system, then the aerobic system. The phosphate system is immediate, high intensity, 100% effort to get the hell out of there. So your body produces the chemicals you need to get away from the threat or to turn and fight the threat. Isn't that exciting? So epinephrine, adrenaline and cortisol. That all of those three work together to do this, get you ready to fight or flight. So the energy is released from the phosphate system. The catecholamines open up the cells to release blood fat into your bloodstream, so you've got energy. Blood sugar, so you've got energy. Phosphate, obviously, for that immediate let's get out of here phosphate system. And you can now get away from the threat, or you can turn and fight the threat immediately. So those three are really important to remember: epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol, so that our body is ready. Our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up, blood sugar levels go up, blood fat levels go up, so that we're ready to go. Awesome if you're fighting an animal. Awesome if you have to sprint away from an animal. And remember, if the animal's chasing us, we're not going to walk away, we're not going to jog away, we're not going to do a 45-minute pace ourselves through our walk away from the animal. We have to get away from there really quickly. So they're instant reaction drugs. Your body can produce them immediately. The challenge is if you don't fight, if you don't flight, if you don't do something to disperse cortisol, epinephrine, and adrenaline, you're now in a high state of anxiety. You've got these high blood pressure, high heart rate, high blood fat levels, high blood sugar levels, and they've got nowhere to go. And this is the challenge now, because in a world where we live that we haven't evolved from fight and flight, we've still got stresses. It just doesn't come in the form of a wild animal usually. We've got stress from work. We've got stress from relationships. We've got stress from finances. We've got stress from feeling overweight. We've got stress from what the government's doing. We've got stress from global financial crisis. The world is full of stresses. And unfortunately, as humans, we don't do what the body's designed to do. We don't go and sprint. So we produce those, we're still getting stressed, so we still produce epinephrine, adrenaline and cortisol, and we still have increased blood fat levels, increased blood sugar levels, increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, but we don't do anything about it. So now this system starts to break down, and unfortunately, if we're not getting rid of the stress, our body goes into a state of dis-ease. We're not at ease, we become dis-eased. And of course, you don't have to take a step very far to say that that's going to have a major effect on what's going on in our body, particularly from a cardiovascular disease point of view. If I've got high blood sugar levels and high blood fat levels, that's high cholesterol levels and those big glucose molecules banging around in my arteries, banging around in my hoses, doing damage to my arteries, which now cholesterol can stick onto, which means I now get clogged up arteries, which means now my chances of cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, heart attack, all go up. All the big diseases in the world, the big killer diseases, could they be caused because we don't get rid of the stress? Now, what's the quickest and fastest way to get rid of stress? The body produces movement drugs for a reason, remember? Epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol, movement drugs, instant, high intensity, let's get the hell out of here, 100% effort, movement drugs. But most people, when they're stressed, don't go move. They sit on the couch, they drink, they take drugs, pharmaceutical or recreational, they gamble, they eat too much food because they're angry, and that's one of the big reasons why people become overweight, because they comfort eat or they anxious eat or they're angry eat. I've had a bad day, I'm going to eat a pizza. And then on top of that, now we have a stressed body that's getting filled up with the wrong kind of drugs. So this is where exercise comes in and where I get really excited. As an exercise professional, if I can share this beautiful story of your body's designed to move, doesn't matter whether you produce the stress because you're forcing your body to exercise, or the world puts stress on you so you feel stressed and anxious. You know that feeling when your mouth goes dry and your heart rate goes up and you feel diseased, you're not at ease. The ultimate thing to do now is to move, and not just move, but in that 100% effort movement pattern. So in that phosphate system of 10 seconds where you put in 100% effort, what happens now to the chemicals in your body? So your body produces epinephrine, it produces adrenaline, it produces cortisol. You can get the hell out of there. And here's what happens. When you get the hell out of there, when you turn and kill the animal and the animal's dead now, and you can eat it, so you pull it apart and you eat it, or the animal was chasing you and you've got the hell out of there and the animal's gone and you're now perfectly safe. Now there's a different group of neurochemistry, different group of chemicals, different group of neurotransmitters, different group of happy drugs. So the main and most important one, of course, is a reward drug of dopamine. I got away from the animal. I beat the animal, I killed the animal, I won, I'm awesome. And that's dopamine, the reward drug. So we feel really good because we did what we needed to do to survive. And it's a very powerful transmitter that it automatically makes us feel good. And people get addicted to dopamine, of course they do, because there's lots of other different ways to produce dopamine, of course, that don't have the same healthy outcome that exercise gives us. Often if you've got 10,000 likes on your Facebook, you get a dopamine rush. Or if everybody loves you and they're calling you all the time and you get all these ping, ping, pings on your phone, you get a dopamine rush. If you win in a game on when you're competing with somebody or you're playing a computer game and you win, you get a dopamine rush. It's a really powerful chemical reaction inside your brain. But nothing produces dopamine as quickly and as effectively as high intense activity. So when you use that phosphate system to sprint away from the animal, to kill the animal, and you've won, woohoo, now you have a major dopamine rush. The next one is serotonin, and that's really exciting because that's the satisfaction drug. You now feel satisfied. I've run away from the animal. I've killed the animal. I've got rid of the threat. I'm awesome. I feel fantastic. I feel satisfied with my life. And a lot of the time when people present at a psychologist or psychiatrist's office, or they're in a counselor's office, or they just don't feel good, they'll often share that. I don't like my life. I'm not satisfied with my life. And a lot of the artificial pharmaceutical drugs, the ones that are they're trying to synthesize these amazing neurotransmitters, the pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars on synthesizing these drugs. One of them is serotonin, where they try and even out the serotonin levels in your brain to actually feel satisfied with your life. Well, nothing produces serotonin or satisfaction as quickly as sprinting really hard and getting away from the threat, beating the threat. So how often in your life do you get puffed? How often in your life do you lift something really heavy? How often in your life do you punch something really hard or kick something really hard to produce those two major powerful chemicals that make you feel good, make you feel rewarded, and make you feel satisfied? Then there's brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is the fertilizer for your brain. And this is where it becomes very, very exciting as an exercise professional, because we do have this thing called neurogenesis. Unlike what they told me and they told my father, that we couldn't grow new brain cells, we now know that you can. Neurogenesis is a real thing. You can drop off the rotten old brain cells and you can grow new ones. The brain is also neuroplastic, so you can change the way you think, you can change the way you feel, you can change the way your brain's put together, because if you force it to do something different, if you force it to think differently, if you force it to overcome a challenge, it now knows that it can overcome the challenge, so it thinks differently. So if you're sprinting away from something and you didn't think you could get away from it, and you did, you beat the threat, so you either killed the threat or you ran away from it, your brain now knows that you can do something that you didn't think you could do. So it starts to think differently. Can you see how exciting this can become when you relate it to being an exercise professional, when you relate it to exercise? Because when we exercise, we're overcoming a threat every time. not a gentle walk, not a 50% effort, not pace yourself through a 45-minute class, not pace yourself over 10 kilometers where, you know, I'm going to start out slow. I always have a joke about marathon running is technically a 42-kilometer warm-up for a 200-meter sprint. Because what we need to do is sprint. We need to put 100% effort in so that we produce these drugs. Now, the really interesting and exciting one that you've probably heard and we hear about in your relationship to exercise all the time is the neurotransmitter called an endorphin, a happy drug, but technically a pain-killing drug. So we say that we fill our brain up with endorphins after we exercise, but technically an endorphin is that pain-killing neurotransmitter that says you have to get the hell out of here, and even if your foot hurts or even if you've gotten really puffed or even if you think you can't do this, we have to get you away from the threat. So not only does your body produce the movement drugs to get you out of there really quickly, which is epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol, your catecholamine system opens up the cells to get all that energy into your bloodstream, but then your body produces endorphins, which is the painkiller, to make it easier to do it. And you'll often hear people talk about, I didn't think I could make it up the hill because it was a really steep hill, but I did it, and I just love the feeling of it because your body's producing endorphins to help you get over the threat, beat the threat, kill the threat, achieve the goal. Yay! So, as an exercise professional, should I understand the phosphate system, the lactate system, the aerobic system, and out of those three systems, which one will give me the best results for instant, high intense activity? Which one of those systems will make sure that I can get away from the threat or beat the threat so that I can produce happy chemicals? And of course, it's that 10-second phosphate system. So there's a great question to ask. As an exercise professional, am I getting people really puffed? When was the last time you got so puffed that you could hardly breathe? Now, if you know your phosphate system, and obviously as an exercise professional, you'll understand those three energy systems. But the beautiful thing about the phosphate system is it's lasts for about 10 seconds and only 10 seconds. There's no waste product and it recovers really quickly. So the more often we can get people into getting really, really puffed at 100% effort, the fitter they get. And I'll rephrase the question. If I'm only using my aerobic system, which is I can keep going for a really long time, and the waste product is carbon dioxide that I breathe out because I'm using oxygen and fat and carbohydrate to exercise, how much of an effect will my aerobic system have on my lactate system or my phosphate system? None, because I'm only working in the aerobic system. If I get really puffed on a regular basis, will that have an effect on my lactate system and will that have an effect on my aerobic system? So the more often I put in 100% effort, how will it affect my other two systems? And I think they're really important questions to ask as exercise professionals, because we're in a industry, because I can't call it a profession when we do these silly things, where we get people to pace through their exercise. We give them 45-minute classes, one-hour classes. We give them long, boring exercise programs to do, and we wonder why they don't get great results. If I want to produce epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol, the fight and flight drugs, I have to fight or I have to flight. I have to sprint, or I have to punch hard, or I have to lift heavy. I have to use every single muscle and bone in my body. And that's where the endocrine system comes in. And it's interesting because that's where the big bodybuilders will all agree on this. If I want to get the best hormonal response to get big muscles, strong muscles, the hormonal response of human growth hormone and testosterone, I have to put in maximum effort. If I do little exercises, I get little results. If I do big exercises, I get big results because I'm using everything. So instead of breaking the body up into little pieces, let's get it all working together as the machine that it is. What can I do to fire up my central nervous system, my endocrine hormonal system, my digestive system, my cardiovascular respiratory system, my skeletal and muscular system, my immune system, so that I can turn my body into a, you ready? High performance machine, food burning, calorie burning, fat burning, everything burning machine, because when I'm always working at 100% effort, I'm going to have a much faster metabolism and my body, my respiratory quotient is going to change. So just very quickly on that, our base metabolic rate is how many calories we need per day to survive. Our metabolic rate is the calories that we're burning at the moment, so how many are we burning depending on what we're doing. And a respiratory quotient, depending on how you want to say it, is where are those calories coming from? When I work at high intense all the time, every form of exercise I do is always at 100% effort. The energy comes from my half a kilogram of stored carbohydrate, half a kilo. So what happens is if I'm constantly sprinting, I'm lifting heavy, I'm overloading my central nervous system, my endocrine system, all my muscles and bones, my body automatically says, hey, we need to preserve, we need to hang on to this half a kilo of carbohydrate store because she's going to keep using it all the time. So we have to make sure that it's always high. So when she's not puffing, when she's not exercising at 100% effort, when she's not running away from the threat, then we can happily burn fat. So our respiratory quotient, where the calories are coming from, beautifully changes from being a high sugar burner to being a high fat burner. So when you're resting, your body becomes a fat burning machine. So if my whole body's working together and it all becomes fit and it all becomes strong, I now become a high performance machine, a fat burning, calorie burning, food burning, carbohydrate burning machine, burning fat predominantly when I'm resting, which is awesome because most of the day we're resting. My body becomes a germ and bug and virus fighting machine because my immune system, which is built inside my bones, when I'm sprinting as hard as I can and when I'm lifting as heavy as I can and when I'm punching as hard as I can, I'm making my muscles pull on my bones, which means now my bones are getting stronger, which means the inside of my bone is getting stronger, which means my immune system's getting stronger. So I can fight germs, bugs, viruses and diseases, which means I will either never get sick. If I do get sick, I won't be sick for very long, and it's very unlikely that that virus or disease will come back again because my body builds up a great immunity to it. And that's the beautiful thing about the human body. It's so clever. If you fill it up with germs and bugs and viruses, it will build up an immunity to those germs, bugs and viruses, but not if we're unfit and not if we're weak. So as an exercise professional, what if we made it this simple? How do I get people really fit and how do I get people really strong? And there's not too much argument about that. To get fit, you've got to get puffed. You've got to overload your heart and lungs. To get strong, you've got to overload your muscles and bones. When you overload your muscles and bones to maximum capacity, to 100% effort, you now have an overload of the central nervous system. You have an overload of the endocrine system. You produce epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol so that you can move. You produce endorphins so that you don't feel the movement because you've got pain-killing drugs. And then after you've overcome the threat, after you've beaten the stress, after you've lifted the weight, after you've punched the bag, after you've kicked the bag, after you've sprinted away, and just as a very important side note, it's very difficult to sprint, or you can't if you don't have strong muscles and bones. So it's lovely to say, yes, I'm going to get puffed, but the stronger your muscles and bones, the harder you can puff. So that's why they all work together. All of those systems work together. And then after I've overcome the threat, I produce dopamine. Woo! I'm rewarded because I've gotten away from the threat. I feel good about myself because I've done something amazing. Serotonin levels even out, which means I feel satisfied with my life. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor, so I have fertilizer for my brain. I can grow new brain cells. I can change my brain. I have stronger connections between the synapses in my brain. And most importantly for me is I feel good. So if I have brain-derived neurotrophic factor changing my brain and I can think differently, I can think more clearly, is it possible then that I'll make better decisions about my exercise? I'll make better decisions about what I'm eating. I'll make better decisions about my career path. I'll make better decisions about my finances. I'll make better decisions about my relationships because my brain's working better because I'm constantly putting fertilizer in my brain. If I keep overcoming threats, if I keep lifting heavier, if I keep punching harder, if I keep sprinting harder, I keep telling my brain that I'm getting better and better at what I do. So what happens now is that the entire body starts to work together more effectively. I think more clearly. I make better decisions. I can get fitter and stronger, and I can keep getting fitter and stronger, and I can stay that way for the rest of my life. I can drop off the rotten old brain cells. I can make every cell in my body stronger. Every system works together better. And then there's a couple of extra little bonuses that as an exercise professional, I get really excited about. There is also the beautiful neurotransmitter of oxytocin, which is the love drug. So you'll often hear people who have puppy dogs or people who have children or people who have great connection with people in their lives. Our body produces the connection drug or the love drug. So at the your body produces a neurotransmitter that makes us feel good when we have great connection with people, which is one of the reasons why people really like doing group exercise, because when I exercise with the group, I produce more oxytocin. But it also means that if I'm exercising and then I go home to my family or I go home to my pets or I go home to the people in my life that I care about, I have a better connection with them because my whole hormonal system is working better. Every neurotransmitter, every hormone, every reaction inside my body is fitter and stronger and more effective. So my oxytocin is produced more effectively, which means I can build better relationships with people. I become a more loving person. I think that's pretty bloody exciting. What do you reckon? Then we have the neurotransmitters that help us sleep better. One of the big challenges in the world, of course, is that people are so stressed. So they don't sleep very well. But when you exercise really hard, when every system in your body is working effectively, is it possible that you'll sleep better because you've got more reason to want to go to sleep and sleep deeply because you're less stressed? Is it possible that a lot of people don't sleep well because they are really stressed? So if you want to get the stress out of your body, you have to produce those neurotransmitters of epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol so that you can disperse that stressful feeling, which means you can then produce the happy drugs, which is really exciting. Then, of course, there's the challenge we have with food. And a lot of people would go on a diet. A lot of people have an opinion about food. A lot of people argue about food. There's a big argument even among exercise professionals that, you know, is it 50% food and 50% exercise that gives you the best results? Or is it 80% food and 20% exercise? You'll often hear that. Well, what if we consider this? If I'm really fit and if I'm really strong, will I make better decisions about my food? Will I want to have high performance fuel in my body to drive my high performance body? And it's a really interesting question if you've ever seen this happen before, where if you try and change somebody's eating and their exercise, so you tell them what they can and can't eat, and then you tell them what they have to do for exercise. So they're eating what they don't like and they're doing exercise that they don't want to do. It's possible that those get linked together, and often people stop eating healthy, so they stop their exercise, or they miss an exercise session and they stop eating healthy. I'll start next Monday. What if we just get people really fit? We don't focus on the food at all. We just say, well, let's get you as fit as possible. There's first the immediate reaction. If you're going out to sprint, is it likely that you want to eat a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken or have an ice cream or eat some lollies? Usually, if you know that you're going out to sprint, your body starts producing dopamine straight away, epinephrine and adrenaline, which are counterproductive to being hungry. You don't want to be eating when you're sprinting. If you're going to be running away from the animal, your hunger system doesn't work well because you're not interested in food right now. You're interested in getting away from the threat. So is it possible that if we get people really fit, food becomes almost a secondary challenge, but because I've got brain-derived neurotrophic factor pumping through my brain, I may now think more effectively about what I'm going to put into my body. The next immediate effect is after I've sprinted, I think you'll find that there are very few people that want to go then and eat Kentucky Fried Chicken or have some lollies or eat some chocolate or have an ice cream because your body's in this euphoric stage. You don't need to have comfort food. You don't need to have takeaway food because you're feeling so good. You're full of dopamine and you're full of serotonin. You're full of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, full of endorphins, full of oxytocin. If you've exercised in a group, you feel fantastic. So you don't need to find pleasure from other things. And isn't that interesting? So what if instead of, it's 80% food or 20% exercise or 50-50, what about if we put 100% effort into all of our exercise? Is it possible that our chemistry, our brain chemistry, our drugs, our happy drugs will help us make better decisions? So if we wrap all of that up, it's really simple for me. If I want to be happy, if I want to feel good, if I want to feel rewarded, I have to produce the chemicals, the drugs that will make me feel that way. And most people go to the doctor or the psychiatrist or the psychologist and they get these drugs in chemical form. The challenge, of course, with any kind of antidepressant drug, happy drug that you get in a packet is it has some really serious side effects. And if you have never read the packet or the instructions or the side effects attached to any kind of antidepressant drug, and I strongly recommend that you do that. So instead of getting from the doctor a packet of pills and just take them, read what it says about that drug. Do your own research and find out the side effects and the massive long list of dangerous side effects when you take a pharmaceutical antidepressant. The beautiful thing about producing dopamine, serotonin, brain-derived neurotropic factor, oxytocin, all the drugs that we need to feel good, when we produce them ourselves from fighting and flighting, from exercising, lifting heavy, overcoming a threat, the side effect to that is that you'll have a body that is a fast fat burning machine, calorie burning machine, carbohydrate burning machine. You'll have a fast metabolism. You'll have strong bones. You'll have great skin, great hair, great nails, a positive attitude. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll be able to fight germs, bugs, viruses, and diseases. So as I always share, do you want to have a body that is a germ, bug, virus fighting machine? Do you want to have a body that is a fat burning, food burning, calorie burning, fast food burning machine? Do you want to have a body that looks and feels good all of the time, not just some of the time? Do you want to have a high performance machine? And if anything ever attacks you, including germs, bugs, and viruses, do you want to be the body that can fight those challenges? Whether it's a mental challenge, whether it's a relationship challenge, whether it's a financial challenge, whether it's a health challenge, whether it's a virus or a disease, do you want to have the tools to be able to fight those? And isn't it fantastic that the human body, if it's fit and strong, will produce all that you need to fight, to flight, to overcome the challenge, to choose the right food, to choose the right relationships, to choose the right financial plan? Because brain-derived neurotropic factor will be constantly being pumped into our brain. We'll have neurogenesis, neuroplasticity, and we'll feel good. So, should we become really good friends with the concept of dopamine, reward drug, serotonin, satisfaction drug, brain-derived neurotropic factor, which is fertilizer for your brain? Should they roll off your tongue? I spent a lot of time, I've just chatted to you now for quite a while, from my heart to yours, with passion and enthusiasm, because when you are passionate and enthusiastic about something, do you want to learn about it? And I'm going to ask that very personal question. If you are an exercise professional, if you're a parent, a teacher, or a coach, you have people relying on you to understand how the human body works so that they can be happier and healthier and stronger and fitter and mentally tougher and physically tougher and stronger. Should we learn our anatomy and physiology? And should we learn how the brain is connected to the body, how the body's connected to the brain? And those energy systems or the systems of the body, how does the endocrine system work with the central nervous system, work with the respiratory and cardiovascular system, with the skeletal and muscular system, with the immune system and digestive system to make sure that we're healthy, strong, fit, happy human beings? And that is what your MAX program is all about. Every session in your program is designed to give you the skills, tools, and knowledge to understand, number one, how the human body works so that we can get fit and we can get strong. As an exercise professional, should we know how to get people fit? Should we know how to get people strong? And please say yes. And last but not least, and most, and probably most importantly, what's the use of knowing all of this stuff if you can't communicate it effectively in a way that a person will understand it and want to do it? So as an exercise professional, do you know how to get people fit? Do you know how to get people strong? And do you know how to communicate that information clearly, precisely, with passion, energy, and enthusiasm so that people will want to exercise? The body that is fit and strong is a different body mentally than one that's weak. And last thing to consider very carefully, because you might ask me this question if you're thinking clearly, but there's lots of people who have got beautiful bodies and they're in great shape and they've got tight butt cheeks and beautiful arms and ripped abdominals, but they're still miserable and they're still depressed. And unfortunately, the answer is yes. There are still a lot of people who are technically fit and technically strong, but they're still miserable. And here is the thing to consider. When was the last time you got puffed? When you get puffed, when you put in 100% effort, you get the immediate acute response to exercise, which is filling your brain up with happy chemicals. A lot of people plod through their exercise program, they plod through their weight training, they don't even enjoy it, so they don't even go into it with the right attitude. But if you are constantly, I only have to do this for 10 seconds, I only have to lift something really heavy and use every muscle and bone in my body, which doesn't take very long, And could that be our challenge as exercise professionals? We've made exercise long, we've made it boring, we've made it complicated. And by doing that, we've taken away the most important part of exercise, which is the neurotransmitters that only get pumped at the top level when we put in 100% effort. So should we be getting people exercising at 100% effort? And the beautiful thing is that you can exercise long or you can exercise hard, but you can't do both. If you go hard and fast, it's very short. So as an exercise professional, we've got in our hands the most powerful drugs in the world, the most addictive drugs in the world, and the injection of those drugs are only really short. We can get somebody really puffed in 10 seconds. We can get somebody to overload every single muscle and bone in their body by lifting something really heavy up off the ground and putting it back down again. What we do is so simple and so easy. Why has the industry of fitness made it so complicated? You and I, as exercise professionals, as personal exercise coaches, we're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep it easy. We're going to get people puffed to get fit. We're going to overload their muscles and bones to get them strong. We're going to give them all of these happy chemicals pumping through their brain, and we're going to make sure that they're healthy, fit, strong, happy, mentally tough, mentally strong human beings. How good does that sound? Woohoo!